Star Wars.
We are a Star Wars.
We are a Star Wars.
Isn't that cool?
Hello there. My name is Corey, and I am a Star Wars.
Oh, hello again. And my name is also Corey, and I am also a Star Wars.
Well, hi there. My name is Jim, and I am a Star Wars también.
And we are a Star Wars.
And today we are going to talk about episodes 4, 5, and 6 of Andor. And we will try our best not to veer off into Tales of the Jedi territory, which we just watched episodes 4, 5, and 6 of.
That's for later. That's for the next podcast.
That's for the next show. We should do that very soon.
Corey thinks that we should do it right after this one.
I need to watch them again, probably. So let's get into episode 4. Let's don't waste much time. I'll do a quick recap. I would like to shout out the YouTube channel New Rock Stars. I enjoy their content, and I watch their breakdowns and Easter egg reveals the last couple of days on work. So as I was crafting my recaps, I used their show to kind of guide me. So they do nice recaps and nice Easter egg reveals, so shout out to them. So episode 4, let's give the recap. Let's go. Luthen takes Cassian to Aldani. He's clearly done his homework on Cassian and knows almost everything there is to know about him. He gives Cassian a kyber crystal, and Cassian is introduced to a lady from the group. She's skeptical about adding him to the group. And Luthen basically tells her to get over it. He's part of the group. So cut to Cyril Karn and the others that were trying to bust Cassian in the first episodes. The three of them get fired on their from their jobs because they shouldn't have been doing some shit. They thought they were going to do something awesome.
They thought they were doing the right thing.
That's right. So then we see Dindra Miro. She realizes that the box that is missing is from her sector. That's the box that Cassian had.
And I just want to comment and say her saddle pants are amazing.
Roomy. There's a lot
They're
of room in there.
Very roomy.
Okay. And then Cassian meets the rest of the group. Cyril returns to his mother's home. And this story goes on and on and on, and I really hope there's some sort of payoff happening there. Mon Mothma shows up at Luthen's shop, and she said that she has found someone to help them in their cause, and we realize that, you know, Luthen's got this whole other sort of thing happening. We thought he was just out there flying around, but he's centrally based somewhere, apparently, and helping some shit out with Mon Mothma and them. And then the rest of the group learns about the eye that will give them cover to pull off their big heist that we'll see later in episode 6. So is there anything in particular you guys want to talk about from this episode?
Other than that one lady's pants? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, she's got these riding pants. They're like poofy bloomers that kind of
like
poof out.
Like the Mounties.
She's got
wear.
The white jacket, the form-fitting white jacket, and then the tall black leather
that.
Boots, and then like these, and it's like an old, like, I don't know, they look like riding pants.
What I took it to mean is that in their spare time, the Imperials play polo on horseback.
Imperial polo it is.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
That's what they do.
Cricket.
You in think their spare
they,
time.
You think they're out there riding dewbacks and shit?
I think they are.
Dewback polo.
You just made some shit up, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a logo for that and start selling t-shirts.
There we go.
God damn it.
That's a side hustle.
I'm rich.
Side hustle.
I'm trying to quit my job. We need a side hustle.
So what I liked
Except
about the episode
for the people that work with Corey that listen to this podcast, don't listen to him.
I don't know them. I really enjoyed the conversation they had right off the bat when Selvig was recruiting Andor.
Luthen.
What did I call him? Selvig. Oh, I call him Selvig in my notes a lot because that was his name in the MCU.
Dr. Selvig.
MCU. My bad.
I knew what you meant.
So sometimes I write Selvig.
This is a Star Wars show. I figured I might correct
There's
you.
Crossover.
In fact, I think actually it was just for an hour, and then I remembered his name and I changed it halfway through the notes. Yeah. I love that, but I also loved all the Imperial stuff. Like the first three episodes, I was saying that like there is no Imperials in this show. It's corporate. That's cool. And that was cool. But now we've seen the corporate messed up in the eyes of the Empire, and now we're seeing the Empire come in and take over and be that boot on people's necks, and it's like, oh, this is what the Empire is bad for. Like,
right.
We don't necessarily see that side either in the fairy tale Star Wars saga. We don't see regular people being oppressed, and now we get to see it here. And it's wild.
And the thing that I love about what they're doing in Andor is, for the first time, I think the Empire seems really dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing the machine and the bureaucracy and, like, that Monday meeting that those folks have at the ISB, like, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
And so well written, and just it's what we needed, because that is real and spooky and can happen anywhere, not just in the Star Wars universe. And I love it. I'm here for it. Like, that's my favorite part so far, is seeing how damn evil the Empire is outside of Palpatine, because it's always been Palpatine's right. the one, Vader's the exactly. enforcer. Nah, man, this shit is rotten from the inside out,
all the way down. Yeah, we see people there when they have that meeting, and at this point they're like in a bright white room, their uniforms are all white, the mm-hmm. tables are white. It's like, oh, we're just nice people. And the way that they talk, it sounds like bureaucracy. It just sounds like they're governing stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of listen to what they're talking about, and they're talking about that one guy stands up and he's like, you know what we do here is healthcare providers. He says, we look for sickness and illness, and then we destroy that illness. And it's like, okay, so that's like from their side of the thing. Mm-hmm. That's how they see their place in the universe, is we're just creating peace. But the way they create peace is quashing rebellion and free thought and murder and terror. You just don't really see it here. You see just like, oh, we're just governors having a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. Because it also, you immediately think like, that looks like Kushner. That guy looks like... There's Ivanka over there. Yeah. It's fascism.
I don't know that I ever remember Ivanka wearing those riding pants, though.
But she has them, though.
I digress.
So Corey, you got a page full of notes. Let's hear them.
Oh, but my notes are all just like, Selvig turns into a pimp. But his name isn't even Selvig. It's Luthen. I thought it was amazing where, like, you see him. He's just gruff guy. Ander, come on. We're going to do this.
Ander.
And then he goes and puts on a wig and he's like, and turns into a whole different thing. And that's like, oh, this spycraft.
And it was kind of like he was channeling Jeff Goldblum. From
Grandmaster,
from Ragnarok. Yeah, it was a little over the top, but I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it. It was funny, and it's amazing when they would do the flip when they got to the back room, and they all of a sudden were like, okay, so anyway,
flippy for real.
Yeah, they flippy for real. It was so good. I wrote down that they were hobbit walking across the mountains, because there was a lot of like, let's just walk through the grass and talk about how I don't trust you. Which was fine, because then there were TIE fighters that showed up. Those scenes where, like, everything seems like just normal people walking in a field, and then a TIE and fighter comes by. And then the TIE
fighters
by,
come by, yep.
That's so cool.
That was impressive.
Yeah. The blonde Imperial chick that we're talking about with the pants, what's her name called?
I've got it listed as Dendra Miro, but it could be Dedra Miro.
No, I have no idea. Okay.
So George Romero.
Yes. Well, this could be dumb because I maybe was high, but she says something about like, oh, I have to investigate this. I just have a feeling. She says something about having a feeling or a gut instinct like three times.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that she's force sensitive? Because I've been trained by the sequel trilogy that Finn is like, hey, I have an idea. And that was all we got, and we were supposed to extrapolate that Finn has the Force too.
Right.
Well, somehow Palpatine returned.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
So maybe that lady is Force sensitive. That's all.
At the minimum, they did set up a nice duality between her and the dude from the corporate thing. I mean, she's chasing a lead, she's chasing a hunch, and you know it's going to pay off for her likely.
Yeah.
Right.
So should we get into episode 5, or do you guys have anything else you want to touch on?
I have something I want to say about Luthen, but it can wait until the end.
No, say it.
All right. So he seems like he's got a different agenda than just rebellion. Like, he's real angry about something. At least it seems that way to me. He's got a chip on his shoulder that seems to be personal beyond, like, Mon Mothma is more like Bail Organa. Like, there's a virtuous, you know, desire to overthrow the Empire because it's an evil place. Like, Luthen seems like he's got an angle, a personal angle that I think, I got no idea why, but I think it's connected to Palpatine. Like, I think he knows Palpatine or knew, I don't know. Like, I feel like there, and maybe I'm wrong, like you said. I mean, we're midway through the series, so it's just a hunch. But I feel like his reason for doing what he's doing is more than just...
That's like his brother or some shit.
Right. Or his lover or something like that. You know, like, I mean, Palpatine wouldn't have let that person live, but...
Yeah, it's true.
Something. Like, I feel like there's more to his motivation than just topple the Empire.
Yeah, something's going on. You got to give him some sort of story.
I think we're going to learn more about him and his motivation.
The amount of work that he had clearly done to put this rebel group together.
And he's really good at it. Right? Like, I mean, he's playing tactics and playing chess with people the way Palpatine played chess with people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's doing some Machiavellian shit, and it's working so far anyway. I mean, the heist went over well, but that episode is to come.
Right. Well, let's get into episode 5. This one was called The Axe Forgets. We'll get into that just a little bit before we get into the show. So, Skeen, the character... who we'll just call, he's the guy from The Bear. He's Richie from The Bear, if you saw The Bear. He's having a conversation with Cassian at one point in the show, and he says that the axe forgets, but the tree remembers. And so this implies that the oppressors forget their crimes, but the wounded do not forget, right? So the show starts off with Cyril and his mom talking, and it's obviously Cyril Karn is a victim of Cassian and what Cassian did in the first 3 episodes. Karn loses his job, et cetera, et cetera. But we know Cassian has been a victim in his life as well, with the way he was brought up and such. So the show starts with Cyril and his mom, and this is just driving me fucking insane, and I really hope there's a payoff there. And then Cassian finds Skeen going through his stuff one morning when he wakes up. We see a big conversation between Nimic and Skeen and Cassian one morning around a fire, and we learn quite a bit about Nimic there. He's the young guy in the group. And then Lieutenant Gorn, I can never figure out exactly how they're pronouncing it. There's a big scene with him arriving at the temple and checking things out. That the temple is where all the pilgrims will go to see the big finale in episode 6. And then we see the rebels practicing marching. Cassian points out where everyone should stand based on their hand preference, like who's left-handed, who's right-handed, which I thought was pretty slick. Like, you should stand on this side because you're left-handed.
And that was kind of his way of establishing his bona fides to the group, because it was a good idea.
Right. Yeah, it was legit. And then Skeen tries to take the kyber crystal from Cassian. Cassian says that he's just there for the money, which Jim said was... I think that's the scene you were talking about before we started recording. Skeen later tells Cassian about his brother and their farm and why his brother killed himself. Supposedly, the Empire had flooded the valley, wiped out their farm. His brother decided to off himself in the process. And the two women of the group split off.
He didn't
off.
Want to deal with the insurance claim.
Right. Something. So the two women of the group split off. They're on like a little separate side quest, if it were. And then
wink, wink.
One of the Easter eggs in the show that shout out to new rock stars on YouTube that they pointed out on Luthen's shelf at one point in his shop, we see the Sankara stones from Temple of Doom in the background. And then there's also a block of carbonite that has Indiana Jones's whip and the idol.
And I'm pretty sure behind the block of carbonite is a coffee mug that says, "I'm Kaiser Soze."
And world's best boss. So what do y'all think? Episode 5, where this was a nice 3-episode arc, and there's a lot that kind of goes on here in episode 5.
Corey, what you got on them notes?
Well, this episode was the setup for the heist. So yes, we learn his mission is the heist in the last episode. This episode, it's just setting up the team, feeling each other out, everybody finding... My favorite part was when Skeen and him are talking about like his tattoos and all that. And he's like, oh, I was in this. And it sounded like they were talking a lot like boys' homes and kind of that kind of juvenile prison sort of stuff.
Gotcha.
That's what it sounded, because one of them, he said, I was there from 13 to 16 or something. So it's like they're... It just, to me, it gave like a window, and again, another window into what it's like to be alive, to be a kid on a planet who the Empire comes and wipes it out, so they stick you in an institution somewhere, and then you turn into a criminal.
And to kind of dive off of that point, even though I know you don't care for the story arc that's going along with dude and his mom, what's his name?
Karn
and his mom, Korn. Kark. Is that her name?
His name is Kark. Kark has mommy issues, is what I wrote down.
Karn? I think it's Karn.
Well, that dude.
On the other page, it was Karn. Now it's Kark.
So, if you think about how utterly oppressive it is to live with her, right? If you allow yourself to empathize with his position, it's horrible, right? Like, they live on Coruscant. Right, but they're not moneyed per se. They don't live on the basement levels. They live high enough that they can see the sky. But like it's,
but I think it was very obvious on the next in the last episode when he got home. It's like you see him land on Coruscant, which you're like, oh, this is so awesome and cool and futuristic. But then he gets in an elevator, and it does get very
dark. It does go down. You're right. It gets dark.
Very dark by the time he gets home. And you're it's right. Like, oh, he's not.
Right, but they're on...
He's not Jedi Temple level.
They're grasping at greatness.
Yes.
And he was grasping at greatness first episode when they introduced his character and he's trying to outshine his boss and solve the crime. And now she's grasping at greatness too.
She's trying to live through him and make sure, like, you need to be successful, we're successful.
And to me, that just shows another perspective of the oppression of the Empire. But I think that same kind of angling would have been... she clearly was living in that mid-story, mid-tower condo during the Republic, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like getting back to Luthen. Who was Luthen in the Republic? He didn't just spring out of nowhere. He lost something and is real pissed off about it. And so, yes, I do hope that there's more to come from that story arc, and we are going to kind of get that in 7 and 8. But to me, that was there to show another layer of just the oppression of the Empire, and just there's just too many people. Bill Burr was right. 85% of them got to go. Bill Burr was a little more aggressive than Thanos, but I digress. That's the point of the podcast.
Dwight Schrute said we need we need another plague.
Yes.
Be careful, Dwight. We got one.
Yeah. I mean, we literally almost got one a couple years ago, but, you got more notes on 5?
No. I took few notes.
The other thing
five.
That I wanted to say to that point where Cassian is talking to the dude from the bear, the whole line about, I'm here to win and go home, the way he says it in that moment was just so simple and clean, and it made me think of when you think about A New Hope, and you think about the hero's journey and just the cleanliness of Luke's arc in that movie. And, they blow up the Death Star and they go home and they get a medal at the end of the day. And it's just so mythological and fun and just so clean, And then this show is literally that this is the substrate beneath the asphalt that Luke drives on. Right. Like, this show is about people without power trying to,
but even if you think about it, at some point in all of that Han is just like, I'm just here because I'm trying to get paid,
right
so Han is even that character in
then, right
But then movies. He gets redempted. Redempted. He gets redempted.
He gets redemptivized.
I knew what you
And you know what he does? He flies away in the Millennimo Falcon.
It's called the Millennimo Falcon now. This is new.
This is new for the Star Wars verse.
This is canon, and we need everybody to recognize that.
Hey, those Facebook ads that pop up and they say, Star Wars has finally explained blah, blah, blah. I hate it when they do that.
I also hate the...
I'm like there's
the one
a Star
thing
Wars is
that
a
is
thing?
Going to correct Palpatine. The one thing that's good. Fuck off with the one thing.
You're right. You're right.
Can we name this episode Fuck Off with the One Thing?
No, yeah, it's called Corey and Corey Go for a Ride in the Millennimo Falcon.
All right, episode 6. Nimic and Cassian
have
a discussion.
For the two of you still listening, we love you, by the way.
Love you.
We do. Nimic and Cassian have a discussion to start the show. Nimic is super nervous about what they're fixing to try to pull off that evening. We see the pilgrims are heading to the temple. Lieutenant Gorin greets the pilgrims, and they kind of have a very... it's filled with tension, their little exchange there.
It made me think of you know, when our army was going to meet with the elders in Afghanistan, right? Like, it was a weird, and I'm not saying anything. It just felt that way, like, just the collision of culture on that staircase right there was really, really cool and really well done.
Yeah, this episode really shows a lot of, like, what it means to be an empire.
Yeah.
And to displace cultures everywhere you go.
And it was scary. And to be fair to the Empire, at that moment in time in the story, they were being permissive and accepting of within their... I'm not making excuses for the Empire,
basically,
but like
people they ran off of their land.
But they were like, all right, you know, we don't want any trouble, so if they're gonna come up once a year to watch the sky fireworks, then
But they have plans where they're like, yeah, there used to be thousands of them, haha, now we only have 100.
Right,
and
now
next year there won't be any.
Right, and they have the viewing box. They have the viewing box. They have the box seats for the thing. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I jumped the gun.
So then Gorin leads the rebellion squad in the formation. So we see him kind of leading his little rebellion squad there, and it's kind of awesome to see them working together. And then we see J-Hold get taken over by the rebels, and the shower kind of starts. And then all this is kind of interplaying together. The rebels get inside the vault to get all the credits. Credits injure Nimic on the ship. You know, as they're trying to get away, they all slide back and kind of crush him. And this was a shout out to the new Rockstars YouTube that I wrote this down. He was like, oh, that equates to the crushing weight of Capital, which I thought was kind of neat. Little shit like that I would never think about. So then Nimic's navigator, which he had been kind of hyping up as untraceable and all that stuff, it's the thing that helps get them out of the eye, right? So they get out with the coordinates, and the fucking TIE fighters behind them get crushed.
Yeah, they get lit up.
So and then
so cool.
Then Skeen says, hey, we've got to get Nimic to a doctor. So they take him to a doctor, Quadpaw.
Dr. Quadpaw.
With four arms.
Yes.
He looks like Maz Kanata.
From he does.
The new trilogy, right? And then Skeen tries to split the money with Cassian, and he says that he made up the story about his brother. Cassian is like, nah, fuck you, cuz, and then shoots him because he knows what's up. And then Cassian goes inside to find that Nimic didn't make it through the surgery. And as a token of good faith to Vel or Val, I can never figure out how they're saying her name, he gives her his kyber crystal and says he just wants his part of the money. He's not trying to get anything extra. He says, hey, Skeen was trying to get all this money and split it, and you should know. And I killed him, so he ain't there no more.
Killed.
And then she gave Nimic's manifesto to Cassian, and then it ends in Luthen's shop, and he hears the, I guess it's a radio signal that's calling
out. Which Corey Martin has a lot to talk about. But actually, that's in episode 7, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
We're going to get to the newspaper in a second, in our next episode.
So it kind of ends on Luthen's little solo celebration in his store where he's all happy.
We might call it a happy dance.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about... I thought this was clearly the best episode of the three.
It was a great payoff.
Yes.
And I was surprised that Imperial credits were like... hard assets and not just like Bitcoin.
Right.
But you have notes, so I want to hear your notes.
No, it was cool to see that, that it's like, oh, here's a room full of gold. It was, right. Basically.
Yeah.
Gold. Yeah, I do think this was the best episode. I think that, like, these three could be a movie. You know, that's about the same amount of time, and this would have been the climax, which was cool because yep, that
this was definitely act
the
three.
Eye going over, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the just the overtones of, like, racism and, like, displacing indigenous people and all that stuff that was embedded in this, I freaking loved. The guy who is there in bed, who's not named Korg, what's his name? He's like the
crystal meth.
Yeah, well, the one that is like the colonel or whatever, yeah, yeah. And he's like their guy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So we find
Gorn.
So you find crystal out meth. That Gorn came to that planet and fell in love with one of the indigenous women, and then I think they just said lost her. I don't know if she was killed or whatever. But then, like, I didn't pick up on that the first time I watched it, and I saw it the second time, and then he has all these encounters where he's talking to different people, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, they're coming. You can smell them, right? Like, they're all talking, like, in the worst, like, racist ways about the people who live in this sacred valley.
Whose planet that they're on.
Yeah, who they're, like, engineering on how to eradicate. And just the way that they talk about them, the way they're so dismissive of it, the way they're like, oh, yeah, this is their sacred valley. Who cares? Next year, we're going to pave over this and put in whatever they're about to build there. Mm-hmm. And they're happy with their little reservation that we gave them down at the other end of the mountain. Like, it's so, like, sickening to see it happening because you're like, that's kind of what happened here. Like, it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. And it was really well done. And that the fact that the Gorn, like, gets to eventually, like, turn around and be like, yeah, this is what's up, and, like, stand up and say how he really feels to all of his coworkers and everything that he's been fighting with. I loved that part of it. They also had, oh, when they're doing the little, like, ceremony where they're, like, handing fur back and forth, and, like, the Imperial dude, like, obviously doesn't care, but then the indigenous dude is like, you don't care, I don't care either. Screw right. you and right. he takes it and throws it in the fire and whatever, and he tells them in their native language, he says, tell him our ghosts have strong hands and long memories.
That's a good line.
And that's the thing that Gorn, like, mistranslates. He's like, they said they're happy to be here or whatever, and the guy, like, looks at him like, that's not what I said. That was awesome. I love that part. One of my favorite. And the guy's name's Quad Paw because he has four paws.
What was your favorite part?
I mean, I thought visually it was really, really good. I kind of like the ruthlessness of Cassian when he realizes what's happening with Skeen, and he's like, got to put an end to this, dog.
Yeah.
You're not ruining this.
But right. And it wasn't because he disagreed with what the dude had to say. It wasn't because he was being overly virtuous about protecting the money for the cause. He didn't want that guy to fuck up his out.
Yeah.
And he's about to be done with this particular thing, and he wants out of there, and he's done with it, and he was standing in his way.
Get the money, wash your hands.
Han did not shoot first. Cassian shot first.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. That's
the difference between those two.
That's another t-shirt. Listen, we're going to make a whole goddamn lot of money.
Corey Martin's got a business plan.
I have a t-shirt
and
business.
For the two of you listening, we're relying on you.
Look for the link on
you
our website.
You will be a part of the VIP club.
Jim, you don't have notes, but, like, what are your thoughts on it?
I am a Star Wars.
Jim, what is swimming around in that mind of yours?
Well, you know, I like Star Wars. And,
Go on.
I really like the I like the way the show is written. It's just, like, the issues that I had with pacing in the Obi-Wan show, I'm not having with this show.
I'm hella having those in this.
For me, like, I don't mind just sitting there watching two people have a conversation about healthcare for the Empire, or, you know, it's just that there's not a lot of pew-pew-pew in this show. And I kind of like that. I like that a lot of the conflict is coming from, You know, the interpersonal dynamics, the Machiavellian. I mean, this is the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy of the Star Wars world, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in the Cyril Karn story, and it's...
Have you watched 7 and 8?
I did, but it's still dragging ass.
He's the only one that knows that is championing the light of Cassian Andor as being the one who killed the two guys on the corporate planet in the red light district. So he's the one, you know, he was fired for that. He was told by his mom, stay in your lane, right? He was disgraced because he lost his corporate position. He's not letting that go, right? And so he's going to get this job, and we're bleeding a little bit into 7 and 8, but he's going to be the one that I think connects Cassian to the Empire, to the ISB. Well, Luthen, we've already heard, well, that might be 7 too, but like...
He's starting to get a little worried.
Well, Luthen, Cassian knows who Luthen is. He's seen his face. And so Cassian, at least as of right now, all the noise that they made with the heist... Hi, Avi. That's my dog. She's whining because she wants the cat to come play with her. But I think Luthen is got a problem with Cassian and was maybe sort of hoping that Cassian wasn't going to make it through the heist. He needed Cassian's skills to pull off the heist because he needed the money.
Yeah, Cassian was the one that kind of let him know what was happening, because they were talking about weight displacement and stuff on the escape, and he realized that they didn't know what they were talking about. And he's like, wait, you got to put this all in.
Yeah, that was a great scene where he was like, what were you going to do if I wasn't here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's smart.
If I had one complaint about this show, there was something that was teed up. It was very easy for them to knock out of the park, and they didn't do it. And that's right before the heist. Part of it was that the two women like knocked out all the comms and all the whatever. And so then there's a scene where there's people sitting in their Imperials, and they've got all their, you know, monitors and whatnot. And they're like, I don't know. I lost whatever. I can't find this. They could have had one guy say, I've lost the beeps, I've lost the creeps, and I've lost the sweeps. One dude to say that, and then you go on.
Just casually.
Just one little Spaceballs.
That's got right.
Easter egg.
That's got a little Spaceballs. that would be great.
That's all I wanted.
So, I mean, do you guys have more thoughts about these, or do you want to do the wrap-up segment for the show?
Wait, weren't we going to have other segments?
Well, that's what
we have segments
about.
We have segments.
We have ideas.
Partitions of thoughts. Compartmentalized ideas. And I'm good to talk about, this is a free-flowing Star Wars podcast with three buttholes just talking about Star Wars.
Well, the wrap-up segment I was talking about was the, Jim decided, and I think this is a great idea, that we should reflect upon a memory from our childhood that makes us think about Star Wars.
Because y'all have, if you're our age, if you guys grew up with this the way we did, you've got stories.
Right. Well, it was your idea, so I think you should go first.
I don't want this to be like a big thing, but like for me, I remember very specifically burying my X-Wing in mud. Like I would get the garden hose out, lived in Tampa, and so... here in Alabama, the dirt is red clay, but in Tampa it's real sandy. And I'd get a good slurry going, and I would bury that X-Wing and just reenact the scene from Empire, from Dagobah. And I loved doing that. And you brought up the point about the toys were our way of reenacting. You share that.
Right, because I think that gets lost with these youngsters.
These young kids.
And we can just pick up a stick and watch the whole trilogy if we wanted to all the time. Because we didn't even have, when we were children, we didn't even have video.
No.
So these movies came out, and every once in a while they might be like the Sunday night show on ABC or something. But it would, you know, be all edited and weird and on your little tiny TV. So like you saw it in the theater, and then that's it. Like you go home, you get as many toys as mom will get you. And then you reenact it in your house, and that's how you keep it alive in your head. because you didn't have a DVD to watch. You didn't have streaming. Right. You didn't have any of it.
You went outside, you got the garden hose, and you buried your X-Wing, yeah, and you reenacted your favorite scenes from the movie. What about you? What's one for you?
So one that I think is fairly entertaining, and I want to shout out my old buddy Willie Lyons, who I grew up with, went to Powell, and then all the way through college. Willie and I met in kindergarten, and we were both huge Star Wars fans. And I don't know if it was for the fact that we didn't want to bring our figures to school or what, but we would take the back of the Star Wars figure card, right? They had a pictures of all of the figures that were available in the series, and they were tiny, tiny, tiny pictures. We would take those cards and cut those out and make little scenes on the playground at school with those little tiny pictures.
See, that's awesome.
Pictures.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. And as long as I've known you, I've never heard that before.
You're full of shit.
I swear to God, I've never heard that.
For real?
I promise. Now, we've had a couple of drinks in our 27 years of knowing each other, so there's a good chance I've forgotten.
That was a good one. Shout out Willie Lyons. When we were in high school, we ended up in art class again together. We weren't like close buddies at that time, but like elementary school, Willie and I were fucking close, man. And so we got into high school and we were in art class, and like I had kind of gotten away from Star Wars and all that stuff because I was into music and I was like just trying to be a fucking rock star. And Willie always painted goddamn Star Wars scenes. And he was just always making these original scenes with like X-Wings and TIE Fighters and shit. And
do you know where Willie is now?
He's somewhere in the Shoals. Yeah, we're Facebook
friends. I was going to say, is Willie working for like Lucasfilms now?
I don't know. Willie's we're Facebook friends and he posts about Star Wars still quite frequently.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Shout out Willie Lyons.
Way to go, Willie.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, how about you, Cyburns?
I have a thing. I have an older brother who was born in 1970, Travis. So he's 7 when the first one comes out. So
which is a great age.
Oh, it's a perfect age. So he's a big Star Wars guy, too. And so when I was a kid, my big brother had the better Star Wars toys than me. Like, he had the Hoth playset. And I may have had...
Ooh la la.
Yeah, yeah. And I may have had a couple of toys, and maybe I don't know if I even had a vehicle for Star Wars. No, that's not true. I had the snow speeder, but I can remember he had the Hoth playset, and it was like a big white thing with like all these little paths you walk through the snow. And so one year we got like a new television, and when we took it out of the box and it had those big white pieces of styrofoam.
Oh yes.
So I made my own little Hoth.
That's the move.
Playset.
Man.
Yes.
That's
heck
the move.
Yes. That's what you do. I remember using styrofoam to do similar things, and because
and that
I didn't
piece
have
of styrofoam, I had it for years. Like that was my favorite Star Wars toy, and it was a piece of garbage.
You know what? The Earth still has that piece of styrofoam
somewhere, and it still has my little guy's footprints in it.
That's really cool. So yeah, that was. I mean, I was just thinking, like, you know, for we as a Star Wars fan. We're living in the golden age. Love them or hate them, you know, whatever the issues are, it's just really great that we've got new Star Wars stories. But, like, we have our own memories. Like, there's a reason why we're watching this shit as a bunch of 40-year-olds. It's connected very strongly to our childhood. And I got 1,000 different stories about toys and you know, making lightsabers out of cardboard tubes, just like everybody else does.
Remind me, I've got a lightsaber story about my brother and I.
Let's save that for the next one.
Because
you know,
I'll forget, but y'all remind me, that's my next story.
So the two of you that are listening, please remind Corey to tell us the story about lightsabers and his brother.
So, yeah, I mean, episode 9 comes out.
Mañana?
Tomorrow. We'll probably release this on Thursday, so it's probably been out for a day. But very, very soon, as soon as possible, schedules permitting, we'll record another episode either about 7, 8, and 9, or we'll go ahead and recap Tales of the Jedi before that's too old. So we'll figure that out here sooner rather than later. You guys have any final thoughts before we wrap her up for the day?
No.
This Andor is written and made very well, and I thank them. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Andor.
Yes, have some. Well, that'll do it for this week. Thank you, guys. Be sure to follow us on Instagram.
The Insta.
We are not on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can follow us. Just look up on Instagram. We are a Star War.
And I think maybe, and I'm just springing this on these two right now, but I think maybe that might be the place where we ask you guys, our audience, which t-shirt design we should do first.
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sensing that Corey has a lot of ideas.
He does, and they're good.
And tell us where to put them. Because
step three is I quit my job because we have sold so many t-shirts.
Yeah, that would be ideal because we both have jobs we would like to quit.
Come on, y'all.
So,
yeah. Y'all do too.
Support your local podcaster.
Y'all give us a follow, and be sure to follow the Alabama Take on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. That's sort of our hub for our network of podcasts.
I got one final thought before we do the sign off, and it's kind of in line with what we were just talking about. I've already told you this part.
Okay.
We've got two episodes that we've published, right? Two podcasts, right?
Sure.
You're the one that published them.
I mean, I don't know. Well, it's been a while.
This is number three that we're recording. This is the third one. This is the Return of the Jedi of our series.
Hey! Oh.
So the first.
The green saber, bitch.
Yes, you do. So the first episode, we got, more listeners than we thought we would. Well, one of those listeners was Susanna's dad.
And shout out, Randy.
Shout out to Randy.
Yo, Randy.
So Susanna tells me last night. So my dad listened to the podcast, and the first thing I said was, oh, no. And she says, he listened to it, and then he told me, I don't think that's going to be very profitable for them.
Listen.
And Randy, you're probably right. That's not the goal. The goal is for the three of us to get together and to make time to spend some time together and talk about Star Wars and share that with people. But you are probably very correct. Yeah. It's not going to stop us from trying.
I think that's our first review.
I think that is.
Randy is not
our first
probably
review.
Right. He is totally right.
Yeah, he's totally right.
This is the thing. We're just three buttholes talking about Star
Wars.
Just three buttholes. This is a live action group chat.
This is 100% a live action group chat. The episode recaps are for y'all because we do that without the recaps. But other than that, this is what the text thread sounds like.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I ain't mad at it. He's right.
No, but I mean, I still think the t-shirt idea is pretty cool. I mean, I'll buy one.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm for it.
It's a t-shirt empire.
T-shirt empire.
I am building.
Well, we would appreciate the follows on Instagram and Facebook. And be sure to leave us Apple Podcast reviews. I think I've been told that's one of the best ways you can support a podcast is because...
I'll tell Randy to go leave his review.
I mean, leave a positive review.
Write it down, Randy.
I mean, he still enjoyed it.
Let him see it.
I enjoyed it, but I don't think it'll be profitable.
I don't think this is going to be very profitable for them.
Sign Randy. Well, thanks you guys. And we hope to be back with you sooner rather than later. For another episode of We Are a Star Wars.
Star Wars! We are a Star Wars! We are a Star Wars!
Isn't that cool?